This is Report to Wyoming.
This is Colby Fedor, and after a recent article that we posted on K2 Radio News about movies filmed in Wyoming, a local named Kelly Estes reached out to talk about some of the economic impacts of Starship Troopers, and that was filmed at Hell's Half Acre in central Wyoming. He is a film Casper liaison. He works to promote the area as a filming location. He's also advocating for increased film incentives in Wyoming. So we'll talk all about that. And I really enjoyed just listening to some of the crazy, wild, and wonderful parts of his job. How did you start working as a film Casper liaison?
It was a long time ago, and it was kind of an accident of sorts. I was managing the Turner County Parks Department. And the Wyoming Film Office contacted me and said we had a film that was interested in looking at Hell's Half Acre. So we went and did that, and it took about a year. And after that, then they started filming. And a year after that, the film came out, and it was Starship Troopers.
Wow. Okay. I have a Starship Troopers poster in my office from my predecessor. He left one there, and that's how I got interested in the film and learning that I had no idea that it was filmed in Wyoming. I'd never been to Hell's Half Acre, even though I was born and raised in Wyoming, but the western part of the state. So I've learned a lot since then. How long ago was it filmed there?
96.
Okay.
So a long time ago.
So you've been working in this industry for quite a while.
Yeah, I did that. The county commissioners liked the economic impact from Starship Troopers. It was, their direct spend was $4.277 million in our community. So they had me start a film office then, and I did that for several years until I got a different job, and then I stayed with the industry and stayed connected with the industry. And then about 5 years ago, Visit Casper hired me to do a film office for them again. And we started that and have had some great success since then.
So can you speak to their agenda on that a little bit? Is Visit Casper interested in bringing more films to the community for the economic impact?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because they put people in hotels. The other thing that's great about this industry, whether it's a commercial, a TV show, a film, whatever that might be, they go away and advertise us for nothing after they leave. And they advertise us wherever they put their platforms at, you know?
Right.
That's a good deal.
And looking at these numbers from Starship Troopers, I wonder, you know, that was 30 years ago. I wonder what those numbers would be today and what kind of course, it depends on how big and how grand the film is going to be, the scale of it. But it's definitely got a lot of potential to make a huge impact. These numbers, I'm going to guess, would be in line with, like, the CNFR. Maybe more.
Probably a little more than that, yeah.
And yeah, because it's a longer time, so
yeah,
that they're there filming.
They filmed for 6 weeks.
Right. And so one thing that I'd written in an article that you mentioned last week was that sometimes people will film parts in Wyoming, maybe not a whole film, but definitely for some of the scenery that we have here. What do you think draws people to Wyoming? What other reasons might make it appealing to film here?
A lot of it applies to their story. So they want to have some original scenery in their story that fits with that storyline. The other things are that sometimes they want a location that's never been on film before. Mm-hmm. So they want something that's new and fresh looking, and Wyoming's got a lot of that. So we've got a lot of access to a lot of beautiful and varied landscapes, which is also a great advantage to Wyoming, is we have everything from the desert to the badlands to high mountains with timber and everything else, and it really opens us up to a wide variety of things.
Yeah, and in terms of light pollution and recreationists and all kinds of things that might be pesky if you're working on a film set, Wyoming has so many places that are remote and, you know, you can really get away from infrastructure, anything man-made. There's so many places that are, it looks almost untouched.
That's correct. That's why they loved Hell's Half Acre for Starship Troopers. It fit that perfectly as another, it served as two different planets during the film. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they filmed it they filmed 24 hours a day. So they had one planet that was being filmed in the daytime and another one at the night.
So I see.
It was an interesting project.
Yeah, and I imagine it's a place where you could be unbothered if it brought in bigger stars. I feel like Casperites, but for one thing, they pride themselves on being, they're not easy to impress, especially when it comes to fame and Hollywood and all of that. I've seen it with certain celebrities who have come to town where I think it's going to be a bigger, more popular turnout for certain events. And it always amazes me how Wyomingites, they're not your typical, they're just not typical in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think a lot of people are that way nowadays, not just Wyomingites. But, and the thing about this industry is mostly we've done lots of TV shows and documentaries and things like that. Starship Troopers is the only major film that actually filmed here since I've been doing this work. But to go back to your thing on celebrities and being able to film where there's nobody in the way, we hosted a Bear Grylls show a couple of years ago out at Fremont Canyon, and the guest was Bradley Cooper. And we filmed for a day and a half, and there was one person that worked for the federal government that checked in on us to make sure everything was going okay on the federal property. And that was the only person outside of the crew that showed up and even looked at anything.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's pretty cool. What about smaller films? Because I had mentioned bigger films before, but smaller indie films and even documentaries, is that something that you guys work with quite a bit?
Oh, yeah. We help everybody that comes in with whatever they want to do. We've done a lot of historical films. We've done still shoots like clothing catalogs for Marlboro Clothing, which is sold everywhere on the planet except the United States. So we've had lots of those catalogs. We've had all kinds of other just TV shows and things like that. Just last week, we wrapped a show called Cooking with Cowboys, and it's a chef out of New York that came out and did a bunch of stuff with varied locations around this area, and it'll be showing. They've actually want to come back here and do a premiere in the fall, and then they'll air the show on Amazon Prime, Roku, and one other platform that I can't remember at the moment.
What other films might people have on their radar? I know there was one, I should ask if you were involved in this, about, I think it was crews helping, I forget what the word is, after crashes on highways, like wrecking crews is what it's called. There was a little show, it mostly was looking at Northern Colorado, but I know they filmed in parts of Wyoming, like Cheyenne.
Yeah, Cheyenne's never been one of my areas that I've worked in. It's been primarily around Natrona County.
Okay.
Recently, Park County added me to their area as well. So those are the two counties that I work in.
What's a day on the job like for you?
It's actually pretty cool. I mean, you get requests. We're doing some advertising and things like that to get more word out. And it's mostly the industry is a... it's a who-you-know kind of thing. So once your name is out there and people start to know you, then they call you when they know that you can give them what they need. So I get a request. I do my best to fill that request, and then I work on the logistics. So we work on housing for them, hotel rooms, crew members that they might need to hire, equipment that they need to rent, permits for the property that they're going to work on, agreements with landowners on what they're going to pay landowners and things like that. So we work on all those logistics and make that all come together so it makes it as easy as possible for the production company to do their project.
In a way, this is large-scale event planning.
It is.
You know, I used to work for a wedding planner, and until I was just the copywriter for a blog, but seeing all of the things that she was doing, it's quite an orchestra. You're really... Mm-hmm. A lot of moving parts. You're working with people, and people are fickle, and things change. Also, crazy weather patterns.
Well, there is some problems with weather from time to time. Yeah, we had, when they filmed the Bear Grylls show, we had, massive, like 50-mile-an-hour winds when they were using helicopters and things like that.
And of course.
Then it blew in a snowstorm. So the next morning, Bradley and Bear woke up to snow all over their camp. So.
Oh, wow. You know, I think it's good to give people a real taste of Wyoming, and that sort of weeds out the wimps and keeps people from deciding that they want to change it. Wyoming is its own state, like its own thing, and it's wild and rugged and beautiful. Do you think that the film industry maybe captures, how should I say this, a deeper appreciation for the state for people who aren't from here, who see it and maybe get an idea of what it's like?
Oh, absolutely. Like the crew that filmed the Cooking with Cowboys came out of Atlanta and Texas. They were split between those two states. And they got up here and they never wanted to leave. They had to go home, but they didn't want to leave Wyoming. They loved it. Had a blast while they were here.
It is really special. As far as housing goes, well, how big for that, the one you just mentioned, what's the manpower on this? How
there many was people? A 12-person crew.
Okay. So that's not terribly hard to house. Like maybe it was a motel room, I'm assuming?
They actually got an Airbnb.
So. Okay. Oh, I forget. Airbnb is so popular these days, and that's nice because then you have a kitchen, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You're not looking for how you're going to go get food or catering all the time.
And it was a cooking show that had a chef with them, so he was able to cook them food while they were at the Airbnb. So that worked out well.
That's perfect. I noticed Visit Casper promoted earlier this year the film festival. Is that something you're also involved with?
Yes, I was. It retired this past year. So last year was the last one, or this year was the last year for that, for now anyway.
Casper does have a deep appreciation for the arts and film in general. That seems to be my general sense that I gather from it. Do you think that Natrona County, well, let me back up, our CEO for the Chamber of Commerce, Tina Hobel-Heinrich, often says that Casper's at a tipping point where either it could maybe go backwards economic-wise or really launch forward. Do you foresee film becoming a bigger part of the economy in the coming years?
That's the hope, yes. One of the things that we're struggling with just because of our economics in the state, what we're having a problem with. Let me try to rephrase this so it makes any sense whatsoever.
Okay, yeah, I have to do that too. I was stumbling on my words all the time. Don't worry.
But back until 2017, we had what was called a film incentive, which is basically a film rebate, like a tax rebate. So they get their lodging tax given back to them, things like that when they come in. Other states, quite a few other states, most of the states actually have that. Other countries have that. And initially, we were able to garner more major films because that helped with their budgeting. They could help save cost if they would come film here because we had that in place. We've testified with the legislature several times since then, and we're still working on that to try to get that back. The tax rebate would be a great incentive for us to have. But currently, right now, England and Great Britain have some of the best ones on the planet, so most of the films are happening there. And frankly, there's not a whole lot of films happening as much, like major films. There's lots of TV shows and series and things like that. And because of the way the incentive was structured before, they're small enough groups that they wouldn't qualify for it anyway. So we can still work with the TV shows and a lot of those other projects. Like since we started this film office, let's see, it was about 5 years ago, I guess. We've had 27 projects that have filmed in Natrona and Park counties. So.
Oh, okay. What for our listeners, what is the lodging tax right now? What percentage do they have to pay?
I don't know.
I can look it up. Okay. We'll do a fact check and I'll add that to the end. But it is... You know, that would be a really nice incentive to come to Wyoming if they didn't have to pay that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the way it's set up is it's not when you come into town, you're not paying it. What they do is they pay everything like everybody else does, and then they apply for that rebate, and it goes through a process to ensure that it's all accurate and everything before they give the rebate.
Okay, that makes sense. And then... I see you have notes. I want to jump over to your notes right now. I'm peeping at a report from the Yellowstone TV series.
Yeah.
So why'd you bring that?
Well, we've scouted for the Yellowstone TV series 4 different times here. They really loved the locations because it really fit their storyline super well. But they ended up going to Montana because Montana had that rebate program in place for them. But this was a study out of the University of Montana. A study that they did to see what the economic impact was from the show on the state of Montana. And that includes, you know, people coming to the state to see where it was filmed, things like that, and just the interest generated from it. And the estimate out of this study, I'll leave it with you, is $70 million is what the Yellowstone, just Yellowstone itself, not the other spinoff series, but just Yellowstone.
Right. Yeah, that was such a wildly popular film or series, excuse me. And I was living in Bozeman, Montana when this happened. So I just saw immediately a culture shift where it was kind of a quiet little cowboy town. It was a city, you know, we had, I worked at MSU at the time, but it exploded. Part of that was the pandemic.
Yeah.
But you know, definitely Yellowstone, it was almost unexplainable. Like, could this really be having such a major impact on this one place? And I think it absolutely did. I think people's idea of, you know, it really romanticizes the American West and cowboy culture. And that became super popular again. Like I said, I worked at the college, so I would see a lot of these kids coming in wearing their cowboy hats again, being really proud of that heritage if they were from the area, and or wanting to play dress up and cowboy when they moved in. And so that was really interesting. We had bought a house before all this, and it actually, the value of it went up 3 times.
Yeah.
Just in a few short years. And then actually it became, Bozeman got to a point when we moved, the median home price was $1 million. So,
yeah.
But it really wasn't like that even, you know, 3 to 5 years earlier. And I do think Yellowstone had a direct, that TV series had a direct impact on that. And now the show ended, I don't know if you were a fan of the show, I'm a big fan. It ended in Dillon, Montana, where I actually did a little bit of my undergrad at Montana Western. And I was thinking, oh no, I wonder now what's going to happen to Dillon, Montana, because I truly believe it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. The Beaverhead Valley there is just incredible. But it's a small, small city. And mm-hmm. So I wonder if they continue the series, what could happen there? And will they keep filming there? I know Taylor Sheridan, one of the co-creators, has spoke on big podcasts. He's been on the Joe Rogan podcast and talked a lot about Wyoming, his love affair with the state, Independence Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's been scouting and looking around and doing his field research.
One of the locations we scouted on was Independence Rock and Devil's Gate was what they wanted to use for one of his series. So
interesting. Okay, he really knows his stuff. He was talking about the Mormons' plight in their hand cards mm-hmm. as they made their way west, and I was really impressed with that. I thought that's a lot of history that people don't know unless they're from that area.
Yeah.
So is it, do we know, can you say anything? Are they still interested?
When we didn't have the incentive, that's
okay.
When they went to Montana.
I'm so. Thinking future. I'm almost certain. I'm really just hopeful. I think that there's going to be future episodes and series to come.
Well, I think there are going to be. I mean, you can't have something that successful and just let it die at the end, I wouldn't think. You'd find other
right.
things to continue to do.
Well, I think one of the good things is that genre has really exploded.
It has. And that's what's great about even this cooking show that came. They're looking at coming back and doing several more episodes in Wyoming. And it's, you know, cooking with cowboys. So it's a really cool series. And I think it's going to highlight, it's not just cooking, but it's also a travel show. So they talk a bit to ranchers about, you know, how the ranch operates. They talk about places to go visit. They went and did the Alcova Resort.
Oh, wow.
Lots of different things. Toured up Fremont Canyon in a boat with them and shot a lot of cool footage. And it's just a really neat way of approaching the show.
And I'm feeling so jealous of you. I think this would be just a great way to get to see and experience your state on such a deep level.
Yeah, it has been. It's great because you have to go out and, you know, build a database of potential locations and things for any kind of scenario, because every project I've worked on since Starship Troopers has been different. Literally.
Right.
They're all different. So
Wind River is probably one of the biggest ones that's in recent years come to Wyoming, right? And I do believe a lot of that was filmed in Wind River. Do you know?
Some of it was over in the Riverton area, yeah.
Okay. It's just some of probably just some of it, yeah. I know that actor is from Utah. A lot of our Wyoming films set in Wyoming end up being filmed in Utah and Colorado. Would this go back to that incentive again, do you think?
Yeah, primarily,
okay.
Yeah.
And then something I've seen, well, to go back to Yellowstone, one of the kids that I went to college with in Dillon, Montana, his name was Dougie, and he was used as an extra. I forget. He was from a reservation in Montana, but I don't want to mess up which reservation. They used him as an extra on mm-hmm. something, and we all just thought that was the coolest thing. Are there opportunities for people to be in even these smaller series or getting
absolutely.
Into?
Absolutely. Like with Well, let me tell you what Starship Troopers did, and then I'll tell you what some other folks have done.
Okay.
Starship Troopers hired 300 extras for their film here. So they had to bring in extras from South Dakota because there wasn't enough extras available here in
Wyoming. Oh, my God. That's so telling of Wyoming.
Yeah. And we've done commercials downtown, in downtown Casper even, that used all locals in the background of everything. Cooking with Cowboys has a lot of the landowners and the people that they're talking to, obviously, on camera. And those are people that weren't part of the crew or anything, but those are the folks they're using. We also had a commercial that shot up on the Red Wall on the Willow Creek Ranch. This was years ago, and they brought in 400 horses. It was a Marlboro commercial for Great Britain, or for Europe, I mean. And they brought in 400 horses, and it was really cool because they had them all running along the Red Wall at the same time, and it was visually, it was amazing.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And that was, I don't know if you know the director, Ridley Scott, but the guy that did the Alien movies and things like that a long time ago.
Huh, I don't, but yeah, I was going to get to Aliens at some point.
His ad agency is the one that did that.
Okay. So. Interesting. I guess let's jump into that a little bit. Aliens, it seems to be such a, I don't know why Wyoming gets associated with alien lore so much. Maybe it's because of Devil's Tower, but there are so many people that tip us all the time that they think they've seen extraterrestrials. And I don't know if that's common at other news stations in other states, but certainly it feels a little bit out of the ordinary here. Do you guys get pitched or talked to a lot about doing almost like a Ghostbuster series, but of alien stuff?
Well, last summer, and I think it's, I'm hoping it'll come out this fall, but last summer we did a show with Ghost Adventures here. It was based here.
Okay.
And we did quite a few different stories and locations, and I had to get all the information gathered for them. So I talked to the community and got as many stories as I could. Found out a lot of stories that I really didn't ever want to know about ghosts
sure,
and things
yeah.
like that. And one of them did include an alien abduction that happened back in the 70s. And they reenacted that while they were here for the show. So we'll see how that turns out.
Interesting. Okay, I'm excited. I know that, yeah, we have a ton of listeners. And we also, K2 Radio has the Wake Up Wyoming show. And so some of that might be Glenn. He's really interested in the extraterrestrial talk as well. And you never know with that guy if he actually believes in it or not. But I think it stirs up a lot of history. And just it's always an opportunity to showcase the sort of ethereal and otherworldly landscapes that we have around central Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's accurate.
What are some of the things you think that Wyoming has that you can't get anywhere else? Like bison just kind of came to mind. Of course, you can get bison in neighboring states, but it would be a good place to, if you're trying to film something using that. Are there other commodities, I don't know if you, I should say, in Wyoming that you can't get elsewhere?
Well, yeah, we've got thermal features like in Yellowstone, things along those lines. We've got, like I said, we've got such a variety of things from the grassland prairies to forests to mountains to hills to rivers to lakes to, you name it, badlands, desert areas. We've got a wide variety of landscapes. And we've also got some areas that can work as not necessarily cityscapes, but at least townscapes. You know, in a lot of our metropolitan areas around the state, we've got places that can serve as nice downtowns for other areas as well.
What are the barriers to filming in a national park? Is that unique?
No, it just takes a lot of time to get it permitted, that's all.
Okay.
And, you know, they don't really like you to build sets, but most of the, what I found with the folks who are coming in to do a project, whether it's a TV show or whatever that might be, they're coming here because they like what it is as it is. So they don't mm-hmm. really come in to build a set or do anything like that. They come in just to film what their, you know, their characters in the setting that we already have.
I'm curious, what is one of the craziest scavenger hunts you've been on in this job where you didn't know that's what you'd be doing that day, but that's what you were doing?
Well, like I said, they've all been completely different, so that most of them have been kind of weird and crazy. I don't, just off the top of my head, I can't think of one that's weirder than all the rest of them. I guess Starship Troopers was probably the biggest one that had as many different logistical pieces just because I didn't know anything about how to go about the logistical pieces. So so that was something that needed a lot of work, and we had to work a lot on to make it happen.
Bradley Cooper sounds really down to earth, but I wonder, and you don't have to name any names, of course, but have you had to work with anyone who's incredibly high maintenance?
No, actually. Bradley was fantastic to meet and to talk to and to be around for a bit. And, you know, you'd think that on some of these shows that they would have stunt doubles do some of the dangling off of cliffs and things like that. But with the Bear Grylls shows are legit. They don't do that. Bradley learned how to rappel and how to cross the canyon on one of those Tyrolean traverses that goes across the cabin on ropes and stuff. And
That's just crazy. Do you know if some of those dollars, this might be out of your domain a little bit, but if those dollars went to the conservation or back to the tourism department?
Well, you know, their hotel rooms and stuff obviously go back to tourism, but they also, most of the shows will give us a financial report. So like the Bear Grylls shows, we're averaging about, for filming a day and a half, it was about $90,000 that they spent while they were here on rentals and people that they would hire to help with the crew. They hired local production assistants, things like that.
Even the little things, cleaning and spending money on coffee. I think about all those little things. Mm-hmm. It was move-in day at the college yesterday, and just having, you know, an extra 1,000 bodies. I don't know what the head count was yet. I'm still waiting to hear, but that does make a huge impact. It's hard to measure.
Oh, absolutely.
But those, I think it also lends to the culture. And again, going back to supporting the arts, and it's just fun to have cool, interesting projects going on in your backyard. And people, I think, probably do get a little curious, but I'm glad to hear they're not too nosy or disruptive.
Well, they're not. And the thing about it is everyone that I've worked with has been super fantastic to work with and super friendly and accommodating. And like I said, we did probably 6 or 7 locations when the chef show was here last week in Natrona County, and everybody was thrilled with it.
Hmm. Something else I'm curious about is a timeline from filming to if something has legs and ends up taking off and then it actually hits the big screen. What's the, you know, I'm sure everything's different.
It is. It's completely different on every project. So like Ghost Adventures, the theory was it was going to air last Halloween as the Halloween special.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't air last Halloween. So I'm hoping, knocking on wood, that it'll air this Halloween so we can see that. And they hired 20 people when they were here to work on that show as well. But all of them are a little bit different, and all of them have different timelines because they're all of different networks and everything else, and it's just hard to tell. So we just try to keep track of it and keep the people that were involved, help keep them up to date on the information as we get it. And like I said, the cooking show's planning on coming here to do a premiere, actually, so the people that were involved with it can actually see it on the big screen before it goes to the streaming services.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for the future of film in Wyoming. I think about movies like A River Runs Through It and, you know, the fly fishing scene. If you're, most of you know what I'm talking about, but if you haven't, you should Google it. You can find some really great pictures of a young Brad Pitt fly fishing in Montana. Mm-hmm. I don't recall where that one was filmed. Was it
just
British Columbia?
That part was just north of Bozeman.
Oh, okay. So, wow. And I wonder how much, even then, that would have been, what, the 90s, do you think?
Yeah.
What, you know, impact, if any, that had?
It did. They all do. I mean, they all come in and they take up hotel rooms and they go away and advertise us for nothing. So it's all wonderful. It's a great way to go.
And then more of those cowboy tape films, westerns. Even then, I think of another great Brad Pitt film, Legends of the Fall. Like that genre, I think Wyoming is so rugged and handsome and could be, you know, there's so many opportunities ahead for movies. What's the biggest struggle that you have doing your job? What's the hardest part about it?
The biggest thing is just getting the word out that, you know, that we're here and available. That's the biggest deal, and we're making better strides at that. And then, you know, competing with other states that have their rebate programs, and we don't have those. So if we could get that put in place, and I've been talking to private foundations about even setting up our own deal outside of the government that might be able to work. So we're going to see if we can pursue that and make some headway that way.
This episode now lives at K2Radio.com. Just click the Listen tab and On Demand if you'd like to hear it again or share it. I'm Colby Fedor.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.